So we've been working through this series called Fight Right, and the foundation of the series is the understanding that you already fight. That fighting is a part of relationships, and our goal is not that you stop fighting, but that you learn how to fight in a way that actually leads you to someplace new, where it allows you to actually connect after the fight, sets you up for better connection heading into the next fight as we move forward. And so, excuse me, we started off with this idea of the crazy cycle. Everybody's experienced it. It's where life's going along fine, and then someone loses the keys, someone is going to be late to work, somebody has lost your child, probably not quite that extreme, and so they say something, the other person is hurt by that, and they attack back, they're hurt by that, and they attack back, they're hurt by that, and they attack back. And it's the crazy cycle. It's just you start here, and how did you end up from losing the keys to I want a divorce? Like, how did that happen so fast? It's the crazy cycle. It just goes like that. And for many of us, if we videotape some of the fights we've had, that's exactly what happened. How did that happen? And so we identified a few things from God's word. One is, very first is we're going to stop trying to communicate first, and we are going to first try to understand, not just understand what they're saying, but understand the person. Like, what is it they're truly trying to communicate in this, in what's going on? Like, I need to hear this. Not just what you've said, but what's behind that? Like, why are you saying that? What do you actually want? And so first, I'm going to seek to listen. I'm going to seek to understand before I try to communicate. Then secondly, we said, okay, we're also going to be done with manipulating information. We're going to tell the truth and the whole truth and let it lay. We're not going to go, okay, I'm going to deliver this truth in such a way that they'll respond the way that I want them to. I'm not going to withhold information. I'm going to really tell the truth. I'm going to communicate what I want them to understand. And then last week, we talked about we're done forcing people to change. It's very natural that we want to force people to change. We actually feel like we have to force them to change. And so we say things, we do things in that fight. We interact with people in such a way that we're like, okay, I'm going to do this because that'll put them in a position where they have to do whatever it is that we want them to be able to do. And we ended that last week with the fact that when you do that, the way you stop doing that is you stop interacting with that person as if they were the source of what you need. Only God has what you need. And when you turn on the person you're communicating with, the person you're fighting with, and you need that from them, God actually calls it adultery. You've switched gods. Now they're the source of what you need versus God being the source of what you need. And we ended that up last week. Today's talk is about how do you build the calm cycle, the opposite of the crazy cycle. Like, how do you interact in such a way that you are able to have a lot of tension and a lot of spunk, a lot of fight, but actually leads to a calm cycle? We're able to fight this out in a way that instead of it getting crazier and crazier and crazier, it becomes more calm, more understanding, more calm, more understanding. So oftentimes people are like, well, let's just stop fighting. How do we stop fighting? We'll just stop talking. And that's the opposite of what we want to happen. Why? Because the things that we fight about are often very, very important. Yes, it started with the losing of the keys. There's actually something behind all of that that's really important. A lot of your fights are about how we're going to raise our kids. What, you're just going to step out and go, oh, well, whatever you say. No, that's important. We need to fight about that. A lot of your fights are about money. Are you going to step out and just go into debt, lose it all, or live as slaves the rest of your lives? No, those things are important. You need to fight about those things. Those things matter. Your physical relationship, your intimacy with each other. I don't want to fight about it anymore. It's important. It's a really big part of your relationship. It matters. Fighting matters. Those of you who've said, I'm going to pull out, no. No good. These things matter. But when we fight, how do we fight in such a way that it leads to progress versus the crazy cycle? How do we move to the calm cycle versus the crazy cycle? This particular message in the series is one of them that changed my life dramatically. I love talking about this. If you find I get pretty excited this morning, that's because I love this principle. I love this principle. I want you to grab a hold of this. There's things I'm going to introduce to you like I had the last couple weeks that they're fairly new. There's a couple things I'm going to talk about today. You probably have never thought about it this way before. Fairly new for you to be able to grab a hold of. There's a few other things in here that you're like, oh, that's right. And we're going to grab a hold of that and run into it. What we're going to do is we're going to jump right into the passage. It's from Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to walk through the passage, and then I'll tell you, kind of put it in a little package, and then walk through how you can do these things. First of all, he says this, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth. The word for unwholesome is rotting flesh. Nothing that stinks. Nothing that, that's not so good. And so, oftentimes, people say, look, I just won't say anything. I just won't say anything. That's actually a power move. It's a move where you know the other person wants to engage. They need to hear from you, and you're just going to pull back. You're going to pull away from them and leave them there alone. Guess what? That stinks like rotting flesh, too. It's true. You didn't say anything, but you communicated very unwholesome things. I don't care about you. I'm not going to engage with you. You can be left there alone. Today, we're not going to focus on what you do not say, other than to say this, that the way that you stop the unwholesomeness is you replace it with something else. And many of you have been trying to stop saying the mean things you say, but when it gets bad enough in the fight, when the heat gets hot enough, you go back, it blurts out. The way that you stop unwholesomeness is not by going, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to do it. It's by replacing it with something else. And this is what you want to replace it with. But only such a word as is good. This is a really cool phrase. He doesn't say the way you talk. He says only such a word. As if you pick every word you use. And then he says, as is good. That means as is a special tool. The word for good there is this tool for good. This thing that you use for good. So this specific word that you pick it out because it's good for something. Now, Couple things from this. One, you are responsible for every word that comes from your mouth. You are responsible for every word that comes from your mouth. Many of us believe we can't control the words that come from our mouth. I was just mad. I was really hurt. I was really stressed. And therefore, I couldn't control what came out of my mouth. That's not true. You actually pick every word that you use. And you are responsible for every one of those words. In this passage, you are to pick out the very specific tool that you're going to use. Such a word as is good for edification. Edification means to build. It means I'm going to build something. I'm going to build someone. Edification is, it means I'm going to build them up. That's what I'm going to do. That in this person's life, I'm going to lay a foundation. And then after I lay the foundation, I'm going to put a wood structure on top of it. I'm going to build that baby in. I'm going to put a roof on top of it. When you look at it, what you're going to see is a nice solid foundation, and then you're going to see this wood structure that's built on top of that. And once I get done with that, I'm going to put a roof on top of it. Put a bunch of shingles on top of that roof so the water can't get into what I've built. And then I'm going to put siding on the outside, and then I'm going to move on to the inside. I'm going to put in electrical in it, and I'm going to put plumbing in it. I'm going to get it all fixed up. Nowadays, I'm going to put internet in it and lots of other things. And I'm going to put all of those pieces into it. And once I get those into it, I'm going to put insulation in it. Then after I get the insulation in, I'm going to put drywall up. And then I'm going to come in and I'm going to hire somebody to do this because I can't do this part of it. And then I'm going to spackle the whole thing. We're going to hire them to spackle it. And then we're going to paint it. And then we're going to put trim on it. And then some of you are going to decorate it. I'm going to build something. That's what it means to build. So I'm going to choose a word or a tool to build according to the need of the moment. The greatest moments to build are fights. The greatest time to build something is during a fight. What do you mean? It's also the most devastating time to destroy something. The way you use your words are really important, and you actually know there are moments when it really matters. Do you ever go to the hospital and somebody's gone through, there's either a tragic accident or someone they love is teetering on death? Do you just walk into that situation carrying on? Or do you walk into the hospital going, what in the world am I going to say? You get in the elevator, you push the button, and while you're going up, you're like, what do you say? You walk in. And you choose your words very carefully. When I'm in that situation, I just take Lori with me. She always knows exactly what to say. It's amazing. I'll be sitting there going, she'll say something, I'll be like, why didn't I think of that? I have found in many of those situations, it's best if I don't say anything. I just hug people. Why? Because I know the weight of the word in the moment. It matters. That tool matters. That's true for destroying things as well. Only you don't have to think of these words. You don't have to work on them. It's natural. When you're in a fight and you want to hurt somebody, you go through your list of tools. Sarcasm. Silence. You never. You're so irresponsible, lazy, right? It's tools. And you don't have to practice this. You're really, really good at it. And when do you do it? At just the right moment. See, in a fight, you have an opportunity. You have a why. You get into a fight and you have an opportunity. You're either going to build the building you're building or you're going to destroy it. The next words that come out of your mouth are either going to be designed to build or they're going to be designed to destroy. God says, let no unwholesome, that's what unwholesome words do, they destroy. There's no neutral. There's no neutral. There's not, I was so mad and I just said this, but I'm sorry. Like it's neutral. It's not neutral. When you take your your maul and you knock out 5 2x4s, saying I'm sorry doesn't rebuild the 2x4s. It's injured. The thing you're building is injured. He says, get rid of that by what? By choosing the specific tool to build up that person at the need of the moment. At this moment, this is what they need. So that it will give grace to those who hear. This is the huge part of the crazy cycle moving to the calm cycle. Grace is when you give someone something they do not deserve. Grace is when I'm going to give you something you do not deserve. You see, at this moment, this is what you need to hear. Even though everything you've said to me to this moment, you don't deserve it. You don't deserve for me to build you up. You don't deserve for me to say the exact right thing which will build you up. That's not what you deserve. Based on the way you've been treating me, you deserve to be torn down. But grace gives you what you do not deserve. At the moment, you do not deserve it. How do we do this? How do we practice this principle? Here's the lesson for today. You attack the problem, not the person. You attack the problem, not the person. There's a problem. Where's the keys? I don't know where the keys are. There's a problem. You always lose your keys. You never can find your keys. You're right? What are you attacking? The person. Anytime you're in a fight and you use the word you, you are attacking the person, not the problem. Anytime you use the word always, never, any of those kinds of words, you're going to attack the person, not the problem. You're like, the person is the problem. I understand that's what your brain is telling you. I understand that. I understand that's what your heart is telling you. It's not true. It's not true. There's an actual problem. So how do you do this? How do you attack the problem and not the person? Number one, by setting your destination. By setting your destination. Here's what your destination is. Well, let me back up. Destination, that means what I'm going to build. What's it going to look like? When you build something, you need to know what it's going to look like. So whenever we build something, Pete's been overseeing the chapel, and I'll say, oh, we need to do this, this, and this. He goes, where's the plans? I need to see the plans. The plans tell you what it's going to look like when you get done. And you make your decisions about how you're going to lay the foundation and build the building. Every step you take, you make that step based on what the plans say. I happen to have the gift. I have a plan in my head, actually. I can actually have the plan in my head. So I can build it as I go. I still have a plan in my head. You have to have the plan. And by the way, every time you fight, you do have a plan. You have one. Setting the destination or the plan. Here's what it is. You are there to be used of God to build others up by giving grace at just the right time. That's your destination. What you want to do is you are there to build this person, and the way you're going to do it is you're going to give them grace. You're going to give them words. You're going to give them looks. You're going to give them touches at just the right moment so it builds them up. Now, this is your purpose. What do you mean? That's what you're on earth for. No, I'm here to build a family. No, you're not. You're here to build a person. No, I'm here to build a career. You are not going to get to the end of your life and go, look at my career. Look what I did. You're going to get to the end of your life and God's going to go, that's not what you were called to do. What you were called to do is build the people in your life. That's what you're called to do. That's the purpose of your life, is to build the people who you interact with in your life. So the destination, the way that I measure if I won a fight or lost a fight is, did I build that person up at the right moment? In that fight, at that time, did I use this fight to build this person up? That's the destination. That's what I'm after. That's how I measure it. That's how I know. Jesus said, I came to serve and not to be served. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you're not, then you're checking this out. If you want to know what's it mean to follow Jesus, Jesus is calling you to share his life. He's calling you to follow him. And those of us who've said yes to that, we follow this. I'm not here to be served. What do you mean? In the fight, I'm not here to win the fight by beating you. I'm not in the fight to get you to serve me. I'm not here to be served. I'm here to serve. So how do we do that? We got three simple little things. One, submitting to God's power. Why do you have to do that? Because everything I've talked to you about so far is impossible in your own power. All I have to do is come up here and interview you. I can prove it. All we'd have to do is follow you around and watch you fight. I can prove it. We could teach you this every day. You don't have the power to do it, and neither do I. God has the power to do it. So we have to submit to God's power. And words before you speak. The Bible said, but only such a word as is good. How do you pick out the words? The first thing you do before you speak is you go, God, what in the world do you want me to say right now? What did they need to hear right now? If you ever come to meet with me and we're talking and I do this, that's what I'm saying. Almost every time I meet with somebody and they bring me something hard, this is what I do. You know what I found amazing? He answers. Now, when I'm in a fight, I don't like the answer. I don't like what Jesus says to say because it looks like I'll lose the fight because I forgot my destination. But when I remember the destination, he says, this is it. This is the word. Here's the words that you say at this moment. You go, wait, this fight is not about me. I am here to give this person grace at this time. At this moment. Another passage says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. That's a promise. God, I don't know what to do in this situation. I don't know the wise thing to do. I don't know what they need. Can you tell me what to say? He'll talk to you. One of two things will happen. Either, almost always for me, there's a passage that pops into my head. Now, that's why it's important for you to be reading your Bible every day. That's why it's important for you to be in a group where you're interacting with the Bible. That's why it's important for you to be memorizing the Bible. Why? Because when you've put into your bank what God has to say, and you say, God, what do I say? He has all of that he draws upon. He can bring that right to your mind. He'll bring verses right to my mind. Or sometimes he actually brings words for me to say. They come from what? They come from his word. So it's you stop. You God, what do I say? The next passage is, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness. Does that describe you while you're fighting? Is that the kind of fighter you are? Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Where does that come from? It comes when you submit yourself to God and his power. It comes when you literally go, okay, God, in this fight, what am I here for? To build this person up. Number two, what do you want me to say to them? What do they need? Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, envying each other. You have one of those two things. you're either going to submit to the power of God or you're going to fight from your own power. And when you fight from your own power, what happens? You're conceited, you're provoking, and you envy. So first, submit to God's power. Release that you're in charge. Secondly, focus on the destination while solving the problem. Focus on the destination while solving the problem. But only such a word as is good for edification. What am I here for? I'm here to build that other person up. So what do you mean, focus on the destination? I mean, look at the building you're trying to build. Men, here's the building you're trying to build. I want a woman who knows she is the most loved woman on the face of the earth. That's it. The goal of my life is that Lori knows she is the most loved woman on the face of the earth. So when you go to fight and you see that building as clear as can be, it's much easier to pick out the right tool. When you know that's what you're trying to build, this just recently happened. The chapel is that close to us going, let's go look at the chapel. And somebody said, well, why don't we do this event upstairs? I said, I don't really want anybody upstairs. I don't really want anybody walking in my chapel. You're like, well, I thought you built it for people. We did, but now, like, let's just leave it this way. Like, they might scratch my chapel. Right? Does that make sense? Why would that be? Because I see what it is. I know what it is. So then when you're interacting with your children, and you know that the goal is that your children grow up knowing that their dad and their mom is going to do what's best for them based on what God says, no matter what it costs them. Your goal is that your children are convinced you follow God and you do what's best for them no matter what. It hugely impacts what tools you'll pick out. You'll never curse around your kids if that's the building you're trying to build. You'll never do it. You'll never blow up and be yelling at your wife in front of your kids if you understand the destination that you're trying to build. You'll never do it. It wouldn't make any sense. The destination is, I'm here to build my wife and I'm here to build my children. I see it. So when I fight, there are certain tools I will never use. And there's only this set of tools I will use. According to the need of the moment. Some of it's like formulas. You'd love for me to print up a sheet of paper and say, in a fight, you do this every time. In a fight, you do this every time. Is this an A, B, or C, D fight? Oh, D fight, you do this. This is what you do. Right? As a matter of fact, people write books based on your desire for that. This book's great. It works. For a while. Why? Because God wants this to be alive. And see, there's moments. There are moments when you have to decide, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to submit to God. Number two, you got to decide, no, I accept the call of God in my life. I have been called to build this person. And in this moment, this is what I'm going to do. Because that's true. In this moment, that's what I'm going to do. You see, this is why fights are the greatest time to build a person. It is the greatest time. I love the phrase, I want that guy in my foxhole. I watch men. And there are men that the harder it gets, the better they get. I want that guy in my foxhole. There are men that I watch where They would be way better off if they lied in that moment, but they just won't lie. I want that man in my foxhole. There are men who fade when it gets hard. They show up for the party. They're all in. I want to help. I want to do whatever it takes. Doesn't really fit my schedule. I don't want that man in my foxhole. I love my wife. She's the greatest thing on earth. The minute he gets his feelings hurt, he's blowing up and going crazy. I don't want that man in my foxhole. You see, why? Because when the moment comes, he doesn't recognize it. And he goes off on his own. He doesn't continue to build what we're trying to build. And you had these opportunities. Fights are moments. There are moments when you get to go, okay, this is it. This is my time. I have recognized moments in fights with Lori when I have said, this is my time. If I follow God on this one, she will know she's the most loved woman in the world. She'll know it. There are moments, there's wives with my children where I knew if I follow God on this one, they'll know no matter what it costs me, I'll do what's best for them based on what God has to say. You are called into these moments. That's what fights are. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you do that? You replace what you think with what the Bible thinks. You replace what you think with what the Bible thinks. So that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. How do you know what to say at the right moment? Because you have replaced what you think with what God says. The last one is speaking to their spirit. This one might be fairly new to you. So the Bible says that when you become a believer, you actually are given a new spirit, that Christ lives in the spirit. So the way that you give grace at the right moment is you don't speak to their flesh, you speak to their spirit. You've all watched those commercials where there's Satan on this side and there's an angel on this side. It's not exactly how it works, but it's a fairly good picture of what happens. When you're in a fight, you get to fight either with their flesh, pride, selfishness, fear, or you get to fight with their spirit, Jesus, righteousness. You're everything I ever dreamed you'd be, grace. You get to choose who you're going to speak to. Who are you going to speak to? You see, when you get in that fight about the keys, and where are the keys, and what are we going to do with the keys? Sometimes the most important thing that you can speak is the truth, right? Sometimes the most important thing you can speak is the truth, but what would be the truth in this situation? The only solution that I have is let's come up with a place where we hang all of our keys every time, right? Let's just come up with a place where we hang our keys every time. It took me about 20 years before I would agree to that. It took me about 20 years. But then, the second truth sometimes when you lose your keys, the second truth is this. Listen, you losing your keys is no longer my responsibility. So when you lose your keys from now on because you don't want to hang them up in the same place every time, that's fine. But I'm no longer responsible for that. And so when you lose your keys and you run around the house screaming and hollering and jumping up and down and asking me to look for your keys, I want you to understand something. I'm never looking for your keys again. I'm not doing that anymore. What are you doing? You're solving the problem. And you're speaking truth to them, which is this. You're actually responsible for what you do. I'm not responsible for what you do. Now, all of those of you who are mommies, not to your children, but to your husbands, this is hard. This is very hard. I'm not responsible. So I just want you to know, while you're jumping up and down and screaming and hollering and turning the couch over, I'm not going to be upset. One of my favorite phrases to one of my children was, you can be as upset and mad and miserable as you want. You're not going to make me miserable. I'm not going with you. Will you, wait, that doesn't, no, that is what? That is speaking grace to them when they need it. That is telling them the truth. And you're solving the problem. You're not attacking the person. And I'm going to speak to your spirit, not to your flesh. The Bible says, so that it will give grace to those who hear. You can only speak grace to the spirit. The flesh won't, they won't accept it. It won't accept it. It can't interact with grace. The Bible says, the soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. So here's the question for you. Will you answer the call on your life? Will you answer God's call on your life that the purpose of your life is to build up the people you love? If you would, just close your eyes. And I want you to think about the different people in your life. Some of you are married, it's your spouse. Some of you are involved in ministries where you are ministering with a team, or you're ministering to a group of kids or a group of people. Some of you have friends. Some of you have people in your life group. You have coworkers that you work with. You have parents, specifically talking to your teenagers. Here's the question for you today. Will you answer the call? Well, let me back up. Can you see the building you're trying to build? Do you have any idea the building you're trying to build in that person's life? Do you understand that you're God's tool to bring grace into that person's life? And will you accept that call? Do you get it? The reason that you're going to be in fights with that person is so that at that moment, you can bring grace into their life. That's the calling of your life. That's the purpose of your life. That's it. That's how you measure whether or not you won the fight or you lost the fight. Because I'm bringing grace into that person's life. The question is not, will you do it or will you not do it? The question is, will you answer the call before God? Will you say, yes, Jesus, that is who I am? Or will you go on just being a normal person, trying to do your best? Lord Jesus, I want to thank you that you didn't save us to be normal. You didn't save us to be miserable. You didn't save us so we could build a great lives for ourselves. Lord, you did this very thing. You fought for us. We fought you. We wanted nothing to do with you. And yet you came and you were treated horribly, disrespected, dishonored, laughed at, spit on, whipped, nailed to a cross, murdered, all so you could build us up, all so that at just the right time you could offer us grace. And now you call us to do the same thing. Church, what do you say? Yes or no? You in or not? Lord Jesus, I'm in. In your name we pray. Amen.